Thank you for coming out in the snow globe this morning. I'm believing that God has something for you. Your obedience and your willingness to push through the circumstances and being here means that you have something on your heart, that you have an expectation, because you very well could have sat at home and opened the door and said, no, I'm not doing that this Sunday. But you stepped up and said, I'm going to be there. I need to be there. I need to worship. I need to hear the word and I need to receive. So my expectation is that you're going to receive what God has prepared this morning for you. And this earlier first service was really, really sweet. Great move of the Spirit at the end and really spoke into people's lives. So I'm encouraged by that. This morning, we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles 7, 14 through 16. So if you can stand with me for the reading of the word this morning, honor of his word. Pastor Tommy did an awesome job at the beginning of the new year outlining where he is sensing, and really 2 Chronicles 7 is where he's really laid on his heart of where we are at, where we're going, and I'm in complete agreement. The leadership team's in complete agreement with Pastor Tommy that as he laid this out, this is where we're at, this is where we're going, this is where we want to be, and we need to take hold of it. So I'm going to build a little bit into what Pastor Tommy has talked about, and then we're going to see what God's going to do at the end. So let's start reading in 2 Chronicles 7, starting at the 14th verse. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Can you say then? Then, very important. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Say, this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple, say this temple, so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. The second verse I'm going to look at this morning is 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Can you say amen to that? That deserves a shout right there. So, Father, we come expecting. Father, we come expecting to hear your word. Father, let not one word be of mine, but you, Holy Spirit, guide and direct every single thing I say this morning. You've poured something inside of me that I need to pour out. So I release it this morning. Take every single one of my words, Father, and let them be what the Father has sent me to say and has sent me to do. Let not one word be of mine. For I'm here to honor you and love you and just be a servant of you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name. All of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. All right. This morning, I want to drill down on the very beginning of the beginning section of 2 Chronicles, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name. Are you called by his name this morning? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you identify that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? Because if you do today, I want to awaken what is already inside of you. But if you're not a believer, if Jesus Christ is not your personal Lord and Savior, my prayer for you today is that you would consider making that life-altering decision this morning. And at the end of the service, we'll give you that opportunity. So we're going to take a moment, and we're going to look in the mirror. So this is my prop for today. If I asked you, what do you see? What do you see when you look in the mirror? Because all of us at different stages in our lives look into the mirror. We look at ourselves. You know, when we're 20s, we look and think about when we were a teenager. And then when we get in our 30s, we start asking ourselves, am I where I was supposed to be in my 30s? My expectations that I had for myself, have I arrived or have I not? And as life keeps going on and I look at my 40s, where I'm at now, I say to myself, is this where I was meant to be? Is this where I was supposed to be? I think we look back in the mirror constantly and asking ourselves, you know, when I first went to college, am I doing what I was meant to do, what I was supposed to do, what I wanted to do? And as we get older, even in our 50s and our 60s, we often reflect back in the mirror of our lives and say, where am I now? What's going on? What's the big picture of my life? Have I pursued what I thought? Have I pursued what God has laid upon my life? And then I think sometimes we look at this mirror on a daily basis. We look at where we are right now. We look at it and say, man, it's going really hard right now. It's real tough. This is a really tough time. It's hard to get up in the morning. You know, I'm not doing what I want, what I think I'm supposed to be doing right now. My family, there's issues in my family. There's things going on. I can't pay my bills. Work is just awful right now. We have moments, I think, that we all look back at the mirror each and every day or each week and just kind of reflect on where we're at. Last week, for us, on a personal level, was super hard. The little boy that passed away from the flu was one of Brayden's classmates. So helping him through that journey this week has been a challenge, a great challenge, but it's also given us great opportunity to share God's love for him and for that family and for where we believe he is. So it's looking at the big picture, but sometimes we look and we say, is life going to get any easier than where I am today? I remember good times. I remember times, prosperous times, but then right now maybe we're not. We're not at that time. We're wondering, will they ever return? This morning, I want to remind you what 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 4 says. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I want to remind you that what's inside of you is greater than anything the world is saying to you. What's inside of you is more powerful than any of today's life struggles that you might be facing. We just need to awaken the truth and the power that is inside of us. So let's look at again at the word awaken that Pastor Tommy shared. The word awaken means to revive, to be aware of, alert, to activate, to stimulate. That word awaken, to awaken, means there's already something inside of you that is already there. It's not a birthing. Think about it for a moment. There's a big difference. When something gets awakened, it's already there. It just needs to be stimulated, brought back out of you. It's not something that needs to be put into you to be birthed, but it is something that's already deep within you that just needs to be awakened. It needs to be stirred. It needs to be stimulated. It needs to be activated again because it once was activated. And that's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there is something already inside of you that just needs to be awakened. It's already there. It just needs to be awakened again. Think about your first encounter with Jesus Christ, the first moment you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, the first moment you fell in love, the moment you asked him into your life. At that very moment, God imparted in you all that you're ever going to need to live a happy, prosperous, full life. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. Some of us have the misconception of who we are as believers, and I want to work on that this morning. John, the first chapter, verse 12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You are a child of the Most High God. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How many of you know you are more than a conqueror? Zechariah 2:8 says, For this is what the Lord Almighty says. After the Glorious One has sent me against nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. You are the apple of God's eye. Romans 8, 16 through 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are our children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You are a joint heir with Christ if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You are a co-heir with Christ. What does that all mean? The Holy Spirit that was deposited inside of you has a very specific purpose in your life. I want to look what it says. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 26, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you." If you're taking notes, I want you to underline that. "Will teach you all things and will remind you everything I said to you." Now that Greek word parakletos, is translated as helper in the English Standard Version. In the NIV, it's the word counselor. In the King James, we have counselor. It's a legal counsel. It's the meaning of the word regulates legal counsel, meaning you have an advocate on your side that knows the truth that is there for you. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us, guide us, remind us of everything Jesus has said to us. Now, what does that mean? The word that we read, the Bible that we read, he's going to remind you of the truth that's in it. The words that we hear each Sunday, each message as we're teaching, the Holy Spirit's going to bring that back to memory, what he's teaching you on that Sunday. Your personal prophetic words that have been spoken over your lives, he's going to bring them back to us to show us, to guide us, so that we may live a prosperous and full life. Did you know Christians have access to power? We have access to revelation and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Just as the Apostle Paul wrote to believers in Ephesus. Ephesians 1, 17, verse 20 through 20. "I keep asking that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for those of us that believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And he defeated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms." Now, I want to drill down on this section of Scripture, and I want to teach inside of it for you for a moment. The verse, starting at the verse 17, it says, "I keep asking that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation," underline that if you're taking notes, "spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better." Underline "know him better." Now, I love this verse. We could all use a little wisdom and revelation in our lives, can't we? Right? I think we can. But so often, we look for wisdom and revelation to the world. We look to other people. We go on the internet and we click and click and surf and ride the internet and click on it for all life's answers. We get the best self-help books we can and we pour through them. Some of us were honest with ourselves. We look to the world for a lot of our solutions until the world has no answers and we realize we need Jesus and we need to pray. We need the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. We need to flip that. We need to go to the Holy Spirit who gives us, as it says in the Word, wisdom and revelation. We need to go to him and ask him what to do. But I really love the last section of this verse. that I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Why do you think Paul made such a statement as know him better? It's because if we have a deeper revelation, a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, we'll all know that we have all that we ever will need in Jesus Christ. We would be able to look at his words, look to his guidance in all things, and live that prosperous life that we were always meant to live. Now, verse 18 says something very interesting. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened with truth. Not these eyes, but the eyes of your heart. Because these eyes are going to fail you. Your five senses, what you see, what you feel, what you hear, those things, they're going to fail you. He's called you to a greater hope and inheritance by the eyes of your heart. Who you truly are in him, what he's deposited inside of you, needs to come out. At the end of verse 18 and then on to 19, it says, and is incomparable, great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and defeated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Did you know the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you? If you knew that and you accepted that, you'd be cheering, you'd be screaming, you'd be hopping, you'd be hooting and hollering. That the same power that raised Jesus Christ is what lives inside of me and inside of you. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 12, this is an amazing promise. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and then will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. This excites me. We have the ability to do what the Father wants us to do, and we have the ability to live that purpose-driven life, just as Jesus lived that purpose-driven life, a life for the Father, a life that was prosperous, a life that gives the Father glory. You know, I want to go back to something in an earlier verse that I read at the beginning of the message. John, the 14th chapter, verse 26, it says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. Now, I love this verse because he says the Holy Spirit will remind you everything I said to you. Everything that Jesus has poured into you, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you. Now, how do we know what Jesus says to us if we don't read his word? How do we know what the Holy Spirit's going to reveal back to us if we don't pray, if we don't have that relationship with him? If we don't have anything inside of us, the Holy Spirit has nothing to bring back out of us to remind us how to live a prosperous life. We need to pray. We need to read our word. We need to get the word inside of us so the Holy Spirit will then remind us what truth was poured into us, and it will become out of us. Now, John, the first chapter, verse 14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory in the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. I love this. Full of grace and truth. How many people know the word is true? Now, John, the 15th chapter, verse 4, I'm going to really bury down in this for you for a moment. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now I want to look at that word abide for a moment. The word abide means to accept without rejection. Now let's go back to this verse for a moment. Abide in me. To accept Jesus without exception. And I in you, meaning Jesus is going to abide in you, meaning Jesus get a load of this, accepts you without rejection. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't grace wonderful? That all of our mistakes, all of our shortcomings, he's going to accept us without rejection. So if I abide in, it says abide in me, meaning accept him without rejection. And he's going to abide in you, accept you without rejection. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Meaning our lives can't be fruitful unless we're attached to the vine. We need to be attached to Jesus, to his word, to a relationship with him. Now in chapter 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Here it says again, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Now if you look at that again, it goes back into that abiding, meaning accepting without rejection Jesus Christ. In him, his word, do we accept all of this word without rejection? Or do we open it and say, I really like this, but this, I can't accept it. We need to accept all of it. All of it. Accept without rejection. Not part, but all of it without rejection. Because it says, this promise, I love this promise, if we abide in him, he's going to abide in us. And guess what? We're going to bear fruit. We're going to have fruitful lives. So important. But again, there's a warning. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to read the word daily. We need to pray daily. We need to have that intimate relationship with him if we want to bear fruit in our lives. Now, I joked in the first service, and I said this to Tommy, I want to do eventually a message on the function of a conjunction. Because in the word of God, there are so many conjunctions, the if-thens of the world. Think about what I started off with 1 Chronicles. If my people who humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then we always look at the then. We don't always look at the if. But how many people know with no if, there's no then? But we all of a sudden take part of the word and say, let's look at the then. Then we're going to get this. Then we're going to be prosperous. Then he's going to hear our prayers. But we forget the beginning part of that conjunction saying, if my people who humble themselves and pray and turn. There's ands in there for a reason. It's not just a little part, do one of the above. It's the whole list. And then finally, when we get through the ifs and the ands, we get to the then in life. We need to look at the ifs and do the ifs to get to the thens in life. And that's this abiding in him. That's this reading his word. That's this praying, communicating, having this relationship with Jesus so that what's inside of us can come out. Now I want to look at Ephesians 6, verse 17. This is the passage on the armor of God. Now, I'm not going to go over all the armor. I only want to look at one piece of the armor. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the sword is both an offensive and defensive weapon used in battle. Swords are used to protect oneself from harm, but swords were also used offensively to attack the enemy to overcome or kill him. How many of us realize that this word, the sword, is meant not just to be defense, not to just deflect what's going on in our lives, not just to protect us? Yes, that's part of it, but how many of us know that what's in this word is for us to be offensive, that we are supposed to take and conquer and overcome, not just the battles and sit here and defend ourselves in the battles, but to possess land, to possess a future, okay? But some of us think that this is just defensive. It's not. It's offensive. Soldiers, when they had the swords, they would do training. They not only did training for defense to put up the sword defensively, but they needed to learn how to attack, how to use it offensively. And the same thing is for us. We need the training just as soldiers need the training. We need the rigid training, the proper use of this word on how to use it as a weapon. a defensive weapon, but also an offensive weapon, that we need to get in this word. And you know, small groups do that for you. Small groups train you up into the word to help you be able to use this word defensively and offensively. So take advantage of that. We need to become so familiar with the word that in times of trouble, we can look to his word and overcome every obstacle. In times of trouble, instead of looking to the world, we look to Jesus Christ in prayer and in the word. That's what we need to do to be able to live a prosperous life. Now in Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8, it says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do," say do, "everything written in it. Then," say then "you will be prosperous and successful." Look at this verse again. I want people that are taking notes, highlight on it. It says, meditate on it day and night. We should be reading our word daily. We should be feeding daily. And we need to also do, underline the word do. You know, each and every Sunday, we teach a message here. We share what God's word is. I'm asking you, do you do it? Do you apply what's being taught? When you're reading your word, and he's teaching you something, the Holy Spirit's revealing something to you, do you then take this and apply it and do it? Because notice, after you meditate on it day and night, after you're careful to do it, you see the word then again. That's that conjunction. Then, what does it say? You will be prosperous and successful. But we have to get to the then in life. John 15, verse 7. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Again, there's that word abide. We do not reject him. His words, my words abide in you. Do all of his words abide in you? The whole thing, the whole Bible, not just the ones that we like. That word abide, again, means to accept. Do we accept his word as truth? Do we accept his word as truth? All of it. Because what he's poured into you here needs to come out of you. You have everything that you need that's in here. Just needs to come out in your life. All the truth that you sit here week in and week out, every moment you're opening and you're reading your Bible, there's truth poured into you that when you face life's challenges, life's circumstances, this, the Holy Spirit, will bring back to memory what's been taught to you so that you may stand. And then when the enemy comes attacking, what do? Keep standing. You can stand against the enemy's battle against you. Can you stand for a moment, please? We're going to wrap this up. I know it's early. What's inside of you? How much word is inside of you, if you're being honest with yourself? What promises can the word of God, what promises of the word of God are inside of you that the Holy Spirit can remind you of, can bring back, to bring revelation? Now, this I wrote down months and months ago, but it was so pertinent for today's message that I want to kind of end on this thought. What gets poured out of you is what's inside of you. If there is nothing inside of you, there is nothing to come out. I'm going to say that again. What gets poured out of you is what's inside of you. If there is nothing inside of you, there is nothing to come out. Now, I say that as an encouragement to you, that we need to read our word to get it into us so that it may come out and show and bear fruit, as the word says, in our lives. But I'm going to be remiss this morning. I said to Pastor Rob, I've contacted Pastor Rob during the week and asked him to be with me because Pastor Tommy was away. And I said to him, I need to make sure that I give an invitation for those people that maybe that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior to have that opportunity. Because I can't imagine living this life without a relationship with Him. Can't prosper. I can't imagine the life out there not knowing the truth that I know in Jesus. So I'm going to ask you very boldly, if there's anyone in here that does not have a personal relationship with them, and you want that relationship with them, you want that intimacy, you want that time that He's going to be able to pour into you so that your life can be prosperous and the Word can get poured out of you, I just want you to slip your hand, and we want to pray with you. Just going to give a moment. Don't be afraid. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right, I'm going to go there again. This morning, the Holy Spirit took me in a different direction at the ending. It's not anything that I have. I'm sensing this morning and now to some of you try to read your word, but like you're not getting anything out of it. Like you're frustrated because you feel like there's a block. You're reading it kind of out of obedience. I want that to change today. Is anyone in here that feels like that? Come down. If you're okay, I want you to come down. I did this the first service, and it's on my heart to do it again. Don't be afraid to come down. I just want to pray with you. If you're someone that struggles reading, because you try and you want to try, but you feel like it's dry and you feel like you're not getting anything out of it. Just two? It's okay. Yeah, I need you two behind them. Okay. If you want a greater revelation of His Word, if you feel like you want a greater revelation of His Word, I want you to come, but I need you to come on this side. I know you're going to look at me like, what's he doing? I'm just trying to be obedient to what I sense the Spirit of God is saying this morning. He had a different plan for the ending of this, and I'm okay with that. How many people know that you're okay with that, right? God wants to do something, I'm just going to go, right? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Greater outpouring. Put your arms out. Can you guys play in the background? Play in the background. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just waiting on Him. Make a final decision here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm caught up in your presence.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Okay, two of you, listen to me for a moment. Slide over for a second. Okay. As you're reading your word this week, okay, as you're going to read your word, you're going to read it. When you're reading, I want you to, when something pops out, I want you to write it down. But I want you to write it down. I said this in the first service. I want you to write it down in order as you're reading. Okay? So as you're reading your word and you're reading, and something makes you stop, makes you pause, makes you go back, I want you to stop and I want you to write word for word in a journal, on a piece of paper, and I want you to log that, okay, on a piece of paper. Because I think sometimes when we read and we think God is not speaking, we don't see the big picture of what He's trying to say. And so by logging that down, you're going to then be able to go back after a week, after 2 weeks, and go, let me read what He's kind of stopped me on, what He's showing me. And you're going to see a bigger, broader picture of a stroke that you didn't see before. Okay? Because right now, as you're reading, you're having it so isolated. It's an isolation. And He's speaking a bigger picture, but you're not seeing it because you're having it in such an isolated form. So bring it together, pour it together in the one spot, and then you'll be able to see, as you go through it, you'll be able to then see what the meaning, what the overarching big picture is. Does that make sense for you? But it's going to be out of the obedience. It's going to be the if. If you do this, then you're going to see the big picture. If you're not obedient to the if, you're not going to get to the then. Do you understand what I mean by that? So you got to make sure you do it. And it's going to build. it's going to build, okay? So just hold on, let me pray. Father, I just pray right now for an opening of his ears, for the scales of his eyes to fall off. Oh, Lord, yes. Okay, keep going, Lord. Keep going. Yes, he wants to do something right now with you. Freedom in this place, right now, freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. I speak freedom. Liberty, liberty in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Freedom in his mind. Freedom in his mind, man. It's just freedom in his mind. Freedom in his mind. Freedom in his mind. Lord, thank you, Lord. Give him praise. Come on, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, my sister here, open her ears. 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 Open her eyes. Open her eyes. Open her eyes. Clear her mind. Right now, in the name of Jesus, clear her mind. You doubt yourself too much, girl. You doubt yourself way too much. You're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. You need to be reminded that you're the apple of his eye. You're more than a conqueror. That he does speak to you. You need to be reminded that he does speak to you. He does speak to you. You need more confidence, Lord. Strengthen her mind, Father. Strengthen her confidence right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, right now in her mind, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Lord, Lord, thank you. Okay, you two need to worship. Don't worry about anyone else. Worry about worship him. Sing to that. You need to sing to that. Now, if you're sitting back there, you're still an opportunity to come down. God is doing something right now. So if you're, again, you need revelation of the word, you need to come down. If you want more of him, you need to come down. Because I have a great belief that he's going to pour out here in a moment. Now, if anyone's sick with any type of ailment, I'm asking you to come forward if you want. I don't care what it is. I believe in complete healing and everything. God is doing something. This is not obviously not on my plan. And there's plenty of time. There's got to be a purpose why we ended so early today. I never talked that short, right, honey? I never talked that short. There's a reason, so we're going to go through the reason. He is the reason.
Just keep praising
him. Amen.
Just keep praising him. We'll do our part and just lift our hearts to the Lord, and we just thank him and glorify him. Sing our own song. If we have our own song, we just continually praise him. We thank you for your presence, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We honor all that you're doing today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, we pray that you bring a greater revelation to all of us. That as we're reading your word, that you are revealing and teaching and reminding us of truth so that we may live a prosperous life. And Father, I just thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. I thank you for giving us your comforter, your helper, your counselor to us. That he may guide us in all truth. And that we may get a greater revelation of who you are. We honor you. We love you. We thank you for what you've done this morning and how you've moved. We were here for a purpose. I pray that this day we've honored you. I pray that I've released everything that you've poured inside of me out of me. I don't want to hold anything in. So I honor you. I love you. We all love you. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.